always a job. Well, I want to share with you from God's Word tonight. And, you know, there's a lot of symbolism around baptism. There's a lot of different things we could say that this shows us, that this declares to us, that this reminds us of, that's true, about God and our relationship with Him and His work in our lives. You know, there's nothing special or magical about the water. It's just out of the tap. It's normal water. But, you know, the act of baptism itself symbolizes something very precious, something incredibly special, a significant spiritual work that has taken place in a person's life. That's what baptism symbolizes. So I want to share with you one aspect of that tonight, the fact that baptism symbolizes new life and new birth. So if you have a Bible, you might want to follow in John chapter 3. I'm going to read John chapter 3, verses 1 to 21, and then speak from that passage. So John 3, 1 to 21 says, "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night, and he said, 'Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him.' Jesus replied, 'Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again.' 'How can someone be born when they're old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born.' Jesus answered, 'Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going to. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.' 'How can this be?' Nicodemus asked. 'You're Israel's teacher,' said Jesus, 'and you don't understand these things. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we've seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they've not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they've done has been done in the sight of God." Well, Nicodemus realized, you know, it would be impossible for a person to be born again physically. It's just a crazy idea. And Jesus agreed with him about that, of course. But then Jesus went on to explain that, you know, it is possible to have a spiritual birth. It's possible to have a physical birth and to have a spiritual birth. And baptism's a sign and a declaration that that new birth has taken place. Tonight we're declaring that has happened in Jaden's life. There's been a spiritual birth. She's had two births, a physical birth, which I'm sure her mother remembers well, and a spiritual birth. Work of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? A spiritual birth. How does it happen? How is it possible to have a spiritual birth? Well, verse 6 here says, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." And the New Living Translation says it like this: "Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life." It's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's invisible. It's uncontrollable, and it's inexplicable. We don't really fully understand what God has done or how he's done it. In verse 8, Jesus said, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." There's evidence. You hear the wind. You hear a noise. But there's still something mysterious about it. Where does it go to? Where does the wind go? Where does it come from? It's like that with being born of the Spirit, Jesus says. You can see a person's life. You can see a change in their life. You can see a difference. You can see, you can hear their words, the things they're saying are testifying that something has changed inside. Something's happened, but that change is invisible. You just see the evidence of that actual change. There's an internal witness. The Holy Spirit highlights to a person the truth about Jesus, whispering that it's all true. All of this is true. All of this is real. And the Holy Spirit makes us realize, and it rises up in us. There's an internal conviction about the truth that comes from the Holy Spirit. And then there's a positive personal response to that overwhelming sense that it's real, that Jesus is alive, that he did die for my sins, that it's all very real. But can anyone possibly really describe that process of how God does that? Can anybody tell me how that happened to Jaden, what was going on inside, what God was doing by his Spirit? Why the Holy Spirit blew in that direction? There's an element of mystery to it, isn't it? Because this is God's work. This is God's creation. This is God's new creation. And how is this birth made available to us? Do you know Jesus made this new birth, this new life, this spiritual life, this eternal life? He made that available to every one of us. In fact, to the whole world. Verse 15, it says, "Everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." Everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. And in verses 16 and 17, "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God's not content to save one or two people, is he? He loves the entire world. His desire is to save the world. So there's an availability of this new birth to each one of us because God loved and he still does love the world so very, very much. Jesus was sent into this world for that very reason, to make this possible, to bring something of heaven into our lives and into our experience. But how are we to receive that new life? How do we get that into our life? How do we become transformed? How can we be born again, or have a spiritual birth take place? Nicodemus was asking that question. It's implied in verse 9. He says, how can this be? And part of the answer is that we can be born again for the reasons we've already said, because God loves us so much. That's one of the reasons why it can happen. He made it possible. But that's part of the answer. Another part of the answer is something we've said already, because this is a work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to do something in us. But there's another critical part of the answer that's contained in this strange statement Jesus makes in verses 14 and 15. "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life in him." Whatever he meant by verse 14, where he says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up," makes it possible what he says in verse 15, that whoever believes may have eternal life. What is it that makes it possible for everyone who believes in Jesus to have eternal life. And what has that got to do with Moses and snakes and the desert? Seems like a strange statement, doesn't it? Jesus is talking about an event that took place that's described in Numbers chapter 21, right back in the Old Testament, where the Israelites rebelled against God. They started complaining. They were good at that. And they complained bitterly against God and against Moses. And God sent poisonous snakes among them, and they were biting people, and they were killing people. And people were dying all around, dropping dead. And Moses cried out to God. Moses prayed for the people, and God told Moses to do a strange thing. He said, get a bronze snake, put it on a pole, and stick it there. And then anybody who's bitten by the snake, these deadly poisonous snakes, they're bitten by it, they look at the snake on the pole, and they won't die. Kind of strange, isn't it? But that's what happened. And, you know, what they were doing was demonstrating their faith, their trust in what God had said by obeying and doing that. Those who trusted him, those who believed in God and in what he told them, didn't die. He saved them. What they didn't realize at the time was that this was also an illustration of something Jesus would do many years later. Just as Moses was lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Just as the snake was lifted up on a pole, so Jesus was lifted up on a cross and crucified for our sins. And just like the Israelites, all of us have rebelled against God. And because of that rebellion, we're in danger, not only of physical death, but of spiritual death. Problem worse than dying of a snake bite. Our sins separate us from God. Our sins separate us from his love for all eternity. And there's only one solution to that dire problem. We look to Jesus on the cross, hanging on the cross. And we trust that his sacrifice provided all that we need for us to be completely forgiven from all our sins, to be cured from our rebellious nature, to be cleansed, to be reconciled to God, to be granted new life. It's the cross that made that possible. It's the cross that made it possible for whoever believes in Jesus to have eternal life. Without the cross, that statement wouldn't be true. So new birth has been made available to you and me through the forgiveness and the cleansing that Jesus won for us through his suffering and death on the cross. God the Father, because of his indescribable love for us, planned that. God the Son, Jesus carried that out. And God the Holy Spirit applies that to our lives. Well, what can we do? God's done all that. We can't earn eternal life. Can't make ourselves good enough for new birth. We can only turn to God in faith and receive this precious gift that he offers us. We've got a choice. And what does John tell us in chapter 3 here in his gospel? We have a choice to remain in darkness or to come into the light. We can continue with a relationship with sin. We can have a relationship with sin. We can embrace sin and walk with sin in our lives. We can live in the dark. We can hold on to it. We can hide away from God. Or we can move into and embrace a relationship with God instead. And that's the choice we have. It's a simple choice. But John tells us light exposes sin. You know, and when we draw near to God, our sin gets exposed. That's a painful thing to happen, isn't it? But looking to the cross as we draw near to God makes forgiveness and cleansing from that sin possible, and it takes that pain away. John wrote letters as well as a gospel, and this is what he wrote in one of those letters, 1 John 1, 5 to 10. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. If we claim we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, and he will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we've not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Well, they're powerful words. You know, maybe, you know, walking into the light could be described like, you know, maybe it's a little bit like a footballer going through the tunnel, heading for the pitch. You know, there's that feeling of anticipation. Maybe there's a feeling, you know, there's some fear in that, isn't it? Is it, if it's a crucial match, he's got to get it right. There's an anticipation, but there's a fear. You know, because heading into the light, embracing God's light, embracing God himself, letting him embrace you, is a life-changing decision. It's like stepping into the witness stand in a court of law. You've got to speak the truth, and nothing but the truth, because God sees right through us, doesn't he? Openness and honesty is required. That's quite a frightening thing, isn't it? To be totally honest and open, because God sees it all. He sees all those thoughts. He sees the contemplations of your heart. He sees your actions. He hears your words. All of it. When you come into the light, you're saying, here all of it is. All of the filth. All of the dark things, all of the light things, it's all here. Well, maybe it's a little bit like knocking on your boss's door and opening it, and you go in and you wonder, what's he going to say? What will he say to me? Words that will determine the rest of your career and future. Could be good, could be bad. He's called you in. But you know, the difference is we're told what will happen when we approach God, when we knock on the door, when we open the door to him. We're told what will happen when we walk into the light, when we're honest and open about our failings and our sins and just lay it all before him. When we confess our sins to God and put our trust and faith in Jesus as our Savior. We're told he is faithful, he is just, and he will forgive us our sins, and he will purify us from all unrighteousness. We know what will happen if we walk in to the light. In Titus 3:3-7, we read, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And you know, this is what we're symbolizing today, that Jaden was living in darkness, that she was separated from God by her sinful nature, but she walked into the light. She put her faith and trust in Jesus for forgiveness and cleansing, and to have a relationship with God restored forever, for all eternity. We're celebrating that fact today. Jaden's been born again. She's been born spiritually through the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, every birth gives us a cause for celebration, doesn't it? But you know, spiritual birth perhaps should give us more cause for celebration even than a physical birth, because this new life, this spiritual life, is eternal. It's a life that will last forever and ever, for all eternity. In Luke 15, verse 7, Jesus said, I tell you, in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Isn't it kind of amazing to think there's rejoicing in heaven over the decision Jaden made to follow Jesus? On what happened in her life, what God was doing by his Spirit that was mysterious and we didn't fully understand. The angels are rejoicing over that. And you know, if you ever put your trust and faith in Jesus, they were doing the same over you. There's still a party going on in heaven over your salvation. And you know, if you've not put your faith and trust in Jesus yet, there's a party waiting to happen for you. God's ready to rejoice and is looking for you to just turn to him, to walk into the light, to be cleansed, to be set free, to let go of that guilt, to let go of that shame, to have a new life, to have a new birth. Acts 17:26 says, God's not very far from any one of us. God's not very far from any one of you. Romans 10:8-9 says, the word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's not very far away. You've heard the message of faith that we proclaim tonight. And if you receive that for yourself, are you willing to say, Lord, I'm coming clean with you. Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. I'm going to call you Lord of my life. I want to walk with you in my life. You too will be saved. It's about faith. I will trust you. I'll put my hand in your hand. I'll give myself fully to you. I want to live in fellowship with you, Lord God, for all of eternity. And I just give myself over to you. That's what new birth is all about. That's what baptism is all about as well. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for what you've done for us. We're so grateful that you're God who is light. We're so grateful there's no darkness in you. That we're not choosing something terrible, something frightening. We're choosing someone who is full of love and kindness and goodness in a way that we couldn't even possibly grasp. But we won't find any hidden corner in you that is lurking and waiting to just catch us out, because you speak the truth plainly and you've declared the truth plainly through your word. That if we come to you, if we're honest with you, if we confess our sins to you, you're faithful, you're just, you're unchanging, and you will forgive us. You will fully, completely forgive us. There won't be any little speck left that you're holding on to, waiting to hit us with later. It'll all be gone. We'll be clean. We'll be unashamed. Our guilt will be separated from us. We can stand in your presence with confidence and boldness because of the cross, because of your covenant you made with us that you're never going to break. Lord, just help us to walk into the light, to remain in the light, to walk with you in the fellowship of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, I'm going to ask Jaden to come and share a testimony, and then we're going to have some declarations, and then we're going to have a couple of songs from, let me get the names right, Brad and Annie, and then we're going to baptize Jaden. Is that okay? All right. So would you like to come up? Are you ready? Let's put this where it's good for you.
Evening. I've never written a testimony before, so this is going to be very interesting. And I might get emotional, so I apologize now. Growing up, I asked my mom, Mom, why wasn't I dedicated? And she said it was because when I was born, my dad wanted me to be old enough to understand what it meant. If I'm quite honest with you all, I didn't think I would ever come to make this choice. I didn't think I would ever get baptized. This is because being little and not having a lot of understanding as much, being told that your father passed away doesn't make sense. Because, I mean, why my dad? Why did I have to be that kid? I never really got it. I didn't understand a lot. I didn't get why I had to be the different one. And growing up, things weren't always the best. But don't get me wrong, it wasn't the worst either. Whenever, I always had a lot of questions growing up, and whenever someone couldn't answer a question, I was told I had to talk to God about it because he had all the answers. And being a little girl with not much understanding, I was quick to blame God for all the bads in my life. I grew up with no father, so I blamed God. I didn't grow up around my family, so I blamed God again. Whenever I got hurt, I blamed him too. I was always blaming God because he had all the answers and all the power. And he always had a plan, but I never really knew the plan. So obviously I made him out to be the big bad wolf. But then things took a complete turn out of nowhere. When I say out of nowhere, I mean out of nowhere. But not actually out of nowhere, because it was God. It was him answering all my prayers, which I'm sure he did all my life. It's just this is when I started to really notice it. It was when my mom decided that we'd apply for me to go to Falcon. This was a really expensive school. I knew there was no way on earth she'd ever be able to afford it for me. And once I got into it, I was sure we'd have to turn it away because I knew she wouldn't have the money to pay for it. But this is when I started noticing how blessed I was. I started to see how God worked. I started to see how he answered prayers. By his grace, I got to go to the school, a school I never thought I'd be able to go to. This opened a doorway to so many opportunities for me. I got to play hockey provincially. I got to do a whole lot of other sports that I never thought I'd ever get to do. This is when I started to give more of my time to God. This is when I started to get closer to God. I started praying more. You'd find me in the chapel more. This is when a lot started to change for me. Not so long after, my mom met Uncle Jason. And she was happy, and this is another thing that I always wanted for her and always prayed about. This was another blessing in disguise. Because not only did God bring Uncle Jason into my mom's life and make her a lot happier, but this was God giving me a father figure that I never had. It was also God giving me someone to push me closer to him, because that's what Uncle Jason has done for me. Growing up, I always prayed to meet my father's family because I wanted to ask them so much, and I wanted to meet the people he grew up with. I never thought that this would happen, if I'm honest with you. But then a couple of years ago, I got to meet my dad's father. I got to meet my papa. And I can't describe to you all what a big deal it was for me to meet him. I never got the most time with him, but the little time that I did get with him was by God's grace. Not so long after meeting my papa, I found out I would be moving to the UK. That's something I never thought would happen. But here I am, and here all my family is with me. This is something I never in a million years thought would ever happen. And this is proof of God and his power. God has answered so many questions nobody ever could for me. He's answered so many of my prayers. God has done so much in my life, and although I still have a lot more learning and understanding to do, I'm certain that this is the first step closer to it all. Thank you.
Eunice, would you just come and pray for Jaden before we do anything else? I'll find some tissues as well. You did really well. It's not easy to say those things, is it? Well done.
We do thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this dear young lady. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done so much in her life so far. And Lord, just may this step as she's taken tonight just lead her, Lord, into deeper ways with you. So, Lord, just bless her as she's been taking a step of obedience. And Lord, just be with her now and in the days to come. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Shall we have the songs now? Brad and Annie, would you like to come up?
We thank you for Jaden. We thank you for blessing us with her in our lives, God. We just want to lift her up to you, Father, and we thank you that you love every single one of us enough to die for us on the cross, God. We thank you that even though you don't need anything, you chose to have us and you chose to send your son to die for us that we can have eternal life through you. So I just pray that everyone, if you know the song, sing along, and if not, just listen and reflect on what it means to you. Amen.
Oh, how far would I climb mountains if the mountains were where you hide? Oh, how far would I scale the valleys if you graced the other side? Oh, how long have I chased rivers from lowly seas to where they rise? Against the rush of grace descending from the source of its supply. 'Cause in the highlands and the heartache, you're neither more or less inclined. I would stop and stop at nothing. You're just not that hard to find. I won't praise you on the mountain. I won't praise you when the mountain's in my way. You're the summer where my feet are. So I won't praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows. No less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the highlands and the heartache all the same.
How far beneath your glory does your kindness extend the path? From where your feet rest on the sunrise to where you sweep the sinners past. Oh, how fast would you come running if just to shadow me through the night? Trace my steps through all my failures and walk me out the other side.
For who could dare ascend that mountain, that valley hill called Calvary? But for the one I call Good Shepherd, who like a lamb was slain for me. I will praise you on the mountain. I will praise you when the mountain's in my way. You're the summer where my feet are. So I will praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows. No less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the highlands and the heartache all the same. Wherever I walk through, wherever I am, your name can move mountains wherever I stand. And if ever I walk through the valley of death, I'll sing through the shadows my song of ascent. Whatever I walk through, wherever I am, your name can move mountains wherever I stand. And if ever I walk through the valley of death, I'll sing through the shadows my song of ascent, my song of ascent. My song of ascent. From the gravest of old valleys come the pastures we call grace. A mighty river flowing upwards from a deep but empty grave. I will praise you on the mountain. I will praise you when the mountain's in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. So I will praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows. No less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the highlands and the heartache all the same. That created the heavens. Find me now where the grace runs as deep as your scars. You pull me from the clay. You set me on a rock. Call me by your name. I made my heart whole again. Lifted up in my knees, know it's all for your glory. That I might stand with more reasons to sing than to fear. You pull me from the clay. You set me on a rock. You call me by your name. I made my heart whole again. Here I stand, high in surrender. I need you now. Hold my heart now and forever. My soul cries out. Once I was broken, you love my whole heart through. It has no hold on me, 'cause your grace holds me now. And that grace owns the ground where the grave did. All my shame remains, left for dead in your wake. Crash those age-old gates. You left no stone unturned. You stepped out of that grave and showed me your all the way. So here I stand, high in surrender. I need you now. Hold my heart now and forever. My soul cries out. Once I was broken, you loved my whole heart through. Sin has no hold on me, 'cause your grace holds me now. Healed and forgiven, look where my chains are. Cause your grace holds that ground, and your grace holds me now. 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 Here I stand, high in surrender. I need you now. And hold my heart now and forever. My soul cries out. So here I stand, high in surrender. I need you now. Hold my heart now and forever. My soul cries out. Once I was broken, you loved my whole heart through. Sin has no hold on me, 'cause your grace holds me now. Healed and forgiven, look where my chains are now. Death has no hold on me, 'cause your grace holds that ground, and your grace holds me now.
Your grace holds me.
Your grace holds me now. Your grace holds me now. Healed and forgiven, look where my chains are now. Death has no hold on me, 'cause your grace holds that ground. Your grace holds me now.
Come on, Jaden. Well, thank you. They're very deep songs, aren't they? Wonderful, powerful truths. You know, sometimes you think, you know, going to have some young people come out and sing some songs, and they're very powerful, how God is with us in the deepest times in the first song, and then how God's grace holds death's ground. You know, you guys are deep, man. Wow. Okay, well, we're going to make some declarations now, or Jaden is, hopefully.
Yes.
Otherwise, we're in trouble. And then we're going to baptize you. Be wonderful. Jaden, Caitlin, Carol, Forbes. By baptizing you today, we're going to declare that God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light and show that when you put your faith in Jesus, you died to sin and you rose to new life to live for his glory. Are you ready to publicly declare your faith in Jesus Christ?
I am.
Do you reject all evil and the works of the devil?
I
do. Do you turn away from all forms of rebellion against God and repent of your sins?
I do.
Do you put your whole trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior for your complete forgiveness and to cleanse you from all your sins?
I do.
Do you promise to submit fully to Jesus Christ as your Lord and with God's help to follow his example and his teachings in every area of your life?
I do.
Okay, well, I want to make a declaration. I wonder if you'd all stand up. Normally we just pray something at this point, but I want to read part of Romans 8 just to declare that for you, that this is true for you in your life. All right. So this is Romans 8, 1 to 2 and 34 to 39. Therefore now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. All of that is true of your life. Okay, so I want you to take that with you after. All right? So you can remember what was declared about you today. And it's true for all of us who put our faith in Jesus. Okay. Well, if you'd can we move that table just over there out of the way? If you'd like to come forward as we just get ready to go in the water so you can see better, that would just be great. Don't be shy if you wanna come up to the edge there, and Esther's coming in the water with me. Okay. I've got to take things off like microphones, watches, my own phone. Okay. Well, I'll pop that in there.